Let's pray, shall we? Lord, again, just thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you are the sovereign, that you are the king, that you have control over everything, and that you have thought all that through for our good and for your glory. Lord, we foolishly think that we can come up with something better, and if things would just be done the way that we think they ought to be done, that would be better. And Lord, in our sane moments, we realize that's not true, but that doesn't mean that our hearts aren't pulled toward that on a regular basis. And so we just ask that you would help us with that, help us to become more and more satisfied with your control, more and more delighted in who you are, thankful for your goodness, and as a result, allowing you to be the one that's glorified, not us. Thank you again. We love you. Amen. All right. In this session, we're going to talk about something better than being in control. I think it's probably fair to say that we all desire control. Paul Tripp writes, "We all tend to give in to the delusion that we have more power and control over our lives than we actually have. Self-sovereignty is the dream of every sinner. It's hard for us to trust ourselves to the wisdom, power, and control of another. We want to write our own dramas, and we want to be the central character of the story." Tripp says this, "There are things that I want in my life, and I only want them, but I know how, when, and where I want them. I want my life to be comfortable. I want my schedule to be unobstructed and predictable. I want the people around me to esteem and appreciate me. I want control over the situations in my life. I want people to affirm my opinions and follow my lead. I want the pleasures that I find entertaining to be available to me. I want the ministry initiatives that I direct to be well received and successful. I want my children to appreciate that they've been blessed with me as their father. I want my wife to be a joyful and committed supporter of my dreams. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to live without. I don't want to have to deal with personal defeat or ministry failure. What I am saying is that I want my kingdom to come and my will to be done." Change just a few words in that statement and it could have been written by me. Resonate with anybody else? Tripp continues, "In some way, at some time, all of us have wished that we had enough control over our lives to guarantee that all the things we wanted, we'd be able to experience. We'd like to control people and situations just enough to ensure that the good things we've desired would actually come true." And then he says, "This independent, this is my life, and this is what I will do with it view of life is a delusion. The thought that you have everything you need to be what you are supposed to be and to do what you are supposed to do is a fantasy as well. Each of us is dependent on God for our physical life. Contrary to what we often think and how we act, we all live a life of reliance on God." I think it's probably fair to say many of us unconsciously and delusionally try to set up our own little kingdom. We try to function as if we are autonomous and self-sufficient. We don't live in true reality. It's the delusion of Invictus, embraced and quoted by so many. "I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Now, to be autonomous is to be self-governing, independent, subject only to your own laws. It means you set your rules, that you're in charge of your own life, and nobody has the authority to tell you what to do. It probably doesn't take much reflection to see how irrational and even absurd that is. You ordered and paid for a Big Mac. You get a cherry turnover. When questioned, the employees say, "Well, they were exercising their autonomy, and that's what they wanted to get rid of today." Or the place where you work doesn't pay you because they don't want to use their resources that way. So they decided to exercise their autonomy and withhold your pay. Or another driver T-bones you at an intersection because they decided to use their autonomy and not stop at a red light. Or you book a flight to Disney World, Orlando, and the plane takes you to Salt Lake City because that's where the airline determined they wanted that plane to go. Okay, ludicrous, right? This idea of autonomy, it's delusional. Functioning as if we believe we can be autonomous is not rational. Believing we can be self-sufficient is also delusional. To be self-sufficient means we're able to provide for our own needs without any help from others. Consider all the things that you've done in the last 24 hours that required the assistance and contributions of others. Did you sleep in a bed? Did you brush your teeth with a toothbrush and toothpaste? Did you put on clothing that you purchased at a store? Did you take some kind of transportation to get here? Did you adjust a thermostat? Did you get something out of a fridge or put something in a microwave? Did you read a report or look at a computer screen? Those all required other people to be involved in that, or you wouldn't have been doing it. We were designed to live in worshipful dependence on God and in humble, interdependent community with other people. That is true reality. One reason that it's so easy for believers to be duped by our desire for control is that we think that what we want is all about God and his kingdom and his glory. So impatience with the mistakes of others because they didn't do what I wanted masquerades as wanting things done with excellence for the kingdom of God. And we're duped. Speaking harshly to my children in order to control them masquerades as godly reproof. Tripp says, it's quite possible to think you're building God's kingdom when you're actually using his building materials to erect your own little kingdom. That's why we need a redeemer. Okay, brainstorm with me. What are some common signs of loving control? Common signs of loving control? Exasperation when I lose control over what I thought was within my control. Good. That would probably be a common sign of loving control. Yes. Okay, when it becomes a ruling thing. How about we pass judgment on those who don't follow our example? They eat such an unhealthy diet. She lets her kids have corn syrup. Or we are a helicopter parent, or we have to have the final word, or we are a backseat driver, or the photographs on the mantle have to be positioned at the angle that we believe is best. Nobody at work should interrupt me when I've got my door closed. We have a rule for everything from how to fix hot dogs, if we'll even eat hot dogs, to how to organize our underwear drawer. We're competitive. Winning is very important to us. Could those be maybe signs that we love control? You can come up with your own list, okay? That's my list. Let's think about things over which we have no control. Factors that have shaped our life that we have nothing to do with. Okay, think with me again. What are some of those things? Factors in our lives that we have no control over. We had nothing to do with it. Weather, parents, brothers and sisters, my intellect, the traffic for the day, our health, DNA, yes. I think we could keep going on that list forever and ever, right? You can't begin breathing water instead of air. You have no control over that. You can't ensure that no one's ever gonna steal your identity. You can't independently increase or lower your body temperature by 20 degrees. Even if you're having hot flashes, you cannot control that. You cannot control that. Now, there is something better than being in control. Something better than writing my own story. Something better than being the center of my world. And as we come to understand this, it positions us to stop longing to control everything and everyone around us. So let's explore this something better than being in control. What's better than having control, dominion, power? Here it is. Confidently, freely, voluntarily and exuberantly putting myself under God's control. Confidently, freely,